Hey everybody, welcome back to the Nintendo Wirecast. I'm one of your hosts, Hero TJ, and here with me is the supreme reigning amiibo king, Amiibo Jason.
You find different ways to say that every week. It's appreciated. It really is. But I have seen some pretty insane amiibo collections from other people, so I feel kind of dirty taking that title. I don't know.
It's not always about the size of your kingdom. It's the quality of your reign and your collection.
That can be interpreted many ways, but yes, I agree.
you're a benevolent ruler.
Thank you.
And a generous ruler where you don't only somehow manage to amass every single amiibo that exists within the amiiboverse, but you also have made it your mission in life to get the word out so that, the rest of the collectors can try their best to be able to find their most desired amiibo.
I do what I can. It's getting easier and easier, so I feel like people don't need that too much anymore. But who knows? I mean, maybe in the future that's going to change. I'd like to see Nintendo bring the amiibo love a little bit back, more than they have in the past year. But
how bad do you want a Drago amiibo?
You know, as far as Drago goes from Ring Fit, maybe, I mean, I'd buy it. He's not in my top five as far as what I'm looking for. I would like to see Nintendo make significantly more Smash amiibo. I want a Ocarina of Time, Ganondorf. I want Zelda, the new redesigned version of Princess Zelda. Yeah. I want them to go back and redo, I guess redo might be too strong, maybe a player two, of some of the early amiibo. Specifically, if you take a look at Marth and compare him to every other Fire Emblem amiibo, it does not do Marth justice. Marth deserves better than what he got. So I'd like to see Nintendo use the care and quality that they had with the new stuff and go back and maybe fix some of those humanoid figures. Specifically, Zelda, she needs work. No offense to people that love the Zelda amiibo, but from a quality perspective, not so good. Marth, 100% needs to be redone. And, you know, I feel like there's a few more. Even the original Link, I feel like could get a nice little upgrade or update.
He kind of did, because we got that Twilight Princess Link.
Well, yeah, there's a million Links, so that's not really, I guess, a fair statement.
But that is a good litmus test, is if you just compare those two, because you can see the Twilight Princess Link amiibo came maybe midstream,
yeah,
and Link from Smash was wave one, Zelda was wave two, Marth was wave one, and you compare Marth to Crom, like you said, it is a night and day difference.
Oh yeah, it's crazy. So do I think that's going to happen? Probably not. I think Nintendo has very different priorities now. I still am nervous that we are nearing the end of the year. We are nearing the next wave of amiibo, and we still have no confirmation of any other waves after it. So after this wave, we have every single amiibo that is not a DLC fighter, but we have no confirmation whatsoever or release dates for any DLC fighter amiibo.
Still have at least one big bit of news that's either coming before the end of the year or early next year about what that final DLC fighter is going to be. Have you had any more ideas about who you think that last fighter reveal is going to be?
Yeah, you know, I think it's going to be not a big character. I don't think it's going to be Crash. I don't think it's going to be Spyro. I don't think it's going to be a fan favorite. It's definitely not going to be first party, in my opinion. There's been some rumors floating around about a character from the Xenoblade, or not Xenoblade, from the Xenogear franchise.
Oh, yeah. Cosma?
Something like that.
Yeah, I don't play that game, so I don't really know that character. I have not been able to help, as I'm sure a lot of other Smash speculators have been doing, to think about it. I'm like, who would really send this home with the biggest hit? And of course, Crash came to mind. There are other big video game characters like Lara Croft who haven't been made a presence in Smash. But I really think the one that might be able to top any other character who has appeared in terms of shocking inclusion would be Sora from Kingdom Hearts.
I hope not. I hope it's not Sora. I think I'm just being... I, maybe I'm just hot off the heels of hating Kingdom Hearts 3. Like, I hated it. Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2, I loved. Dream Drop Distance, I loved. Kingdom Hearts 3, I hated it. I don't want to see Sora anymore. Just, I don't want to see him in Smash. I don't want a Sora amiibo on my shelf. But I agree.
Wow, so it really, like, you went from being a big fan to a hater of the series.
So no, I guess it's hard to say hater. The reason that I got into Kingdom Hearts was I was a massive, and I still am, a massive Final Fantasy fan. So Kingdom Hearts 1 had a wide variety of Final Fantasy cameos. Kingdom Hearts 2 had the same thing, and they just cut them out entirely in Kingdom Hearts 3. No mention of Final Fantasy.
Disney characters?
In favor of the Disney characters. However, the DLC that's coming out, I think in January, is chock full of Final Fantasy characters. But I feel like I shouldn't have to pay another $30 or $20.
Oh, that's pretty expensive DLC. But is it a big chunk?
It's apparently like going to end the story the way it should have ended, but I've already paid $60 to get the ending to the story, and they left it on a cliffhanger. I mean, I'm not going to spoil Kingdom Hearts for you, but the ending is what solidified my hate for the game. I thought it was rushed. I thought the main bad guy, his intentions were unclear. And I don't want to spoil it if for any reason nobody's played it or somebody hasn't played it. But I wasn't a big fan of the ending whatsoever. So I wasn't a fan of the game in general. And that just might be because when the game first came out, I was a lot younger. When Kingdom Hearts 2 came out, was that 13 years ago?
Oh, I that's the only one that I remember specifically. And I was either in high school or just out of high school. And I remember it really catching my attention. I saw the Jack Skellington level and I thought, wow, the just immense crossover potential of this game is phenomenal.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, even though it did have some interest to me, passing interest, I never got around to playing it. And then at some point, when I started to consider playing it, I was like, you know, maybe I'm going to look into this lore a little bit.
Yeah.
Wow, that is a rabbit hole. I don't think that there's ever been. I even watched like 7 YouTube videos of people who are like, okay, here's the simplified breakdown of what's going on in this world. And the simplified breakdown of what's going on in that world between all the different in-between titles, yeah. I guess there's some like mobile apps and all of these things continue the story. It is so convoluted that if story is your reason for playing these games, I don't know how you keep it straight.
I mean, I played the PSP version, the 3DS version, the DS version, the Game Boy Advance version, and the other mainline games, and I still have no idea what's going on in the story.
So what is the hook? Is the gameplay that fun? Are the characters that interesting that you can forgive a story that's completely impossible to follow?
I think the gameplay is fun. I also like the idea that it's this weird crossover with Disney and Final Fantasy. And that's what really drew me to the series. It's bizarre that you have Donald and Goofy fighting Sephiroth.
That is pretty crazy.
It's weird and it's enjoyable and just wacky. But again, yeah, it came out 13 years ago. Kingdom Hearts 2. The first one came out, I think, 3 or 4 years before that.
Now, if this junky ending to Kingdom Hearts 3 is what kind of soured you on this whole gameplay experience, do you think that $30 could potentially be the difference between falling in love all over again?
No, I'm done.
Really? You're not even going to try it?
Like I have a backlog of great games that I know are going to give me an ending that I paid for without nickel and diming me for more. I'm done with the series. I'm done. Unless they make it so enticing, if the reviews are so good, they're like, everybody has to play it. Maybe I'll consider it, but
okay. So there's a small window where they can redeem themselves.
I'm not dropping any kind of money on this game. I mean, the game is selling for like $14 now, Kingdom Hearts 3.
Really?
It's not even that old. I mean, I think the game came out in September.
Yeah, that's a pretty steep drop off, especially for a game that was in development for that long.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think now.
It was a 2018 game, wasn't it?
Was it 2018?
Man, have been as far back as 2017?
No, it wasn't 2017 for sure. It was, it came out in October, I believe.
Or was it 2019?
Oh, it was okay. October of 2018, so a bit over a year old. But yeah, I'm done. I'm done with the series. If Sora gets in Smash, great, good for Sora. I'll get the amiibo. I mean, I'm not going to not get the amiibo.
Of course you're going to get it. Now it's interesting that the biggest appeal about Kingdom Hearts is that it is a Disney crossover, and yeah. Smash Brothers is started out as a Nintendo crossover, and then it kind of expanded into a video game crossover, yeah. Particularly with this last Fighter's Pass, which up until this point is exclusively third-party characters. So it would be a really poetic final character to put into the game, especially since, for me personally, the characters that have been the most shocking are the ones that seem to have jumped through seemingly impossible legal loopholes, like Cloud. When Cloud first came in, I was like, wow, how did they pull that off?
I feel like Cloud is doable, but you can't have Sora in the game without Donald and Goofy in the game. You can't. It's not possible. Like, for a final Smash, what would Sora's final Smash be? Donald and Goofy would come and kick someone's ass.
And I think that's what has made some of these characters so surprising, is that Nintendo has had to broker deals with rival companies.
Yeah.
And Disney is not a rival company directly.
I think they are now. Nintendo's in the theme park business
yes,
now.
Yes, they're indirectly rivals, where they compete in the same space. They compete in terms of media for movies, and yeah. they have played nice before. Bowser did appear in Wreck-It Ralph.
That's true.
So it's possible that there can be some way. And I remember watching the commentary on Wreck-It Ralph where they said the most difficult thing about the entire movie was that Villains Anonymous scene where they had all of these different characters from all these different companies, Bowser, M. Bison, Zangief, and all of the different companies having a different expectation of how large their character should be.
Yeah.
With respect to the size of other characters. So they were like, no, Bowser should be way bigger than M. Bison or I don't remember who other characters are off the top of my head, but that was more challenging than any other aspect of it, which is crazy. So you'd think there are such tiny little nuanced things about how potentially Sora or Donald or Goofy could appear.
Yeah.
But if we can get Bowser in a Disney movie, I don't think it's entirely impossible to think that we could get Donald and Goofy as a cameo in Smash.
That'd be weird. It would be very weird to see that.
So weird, but Nintendo and Disney have a long history of working together before Disney got into, because we've had Disney games on every Nintendo console ever released.
Yeah.
Even up to the Switch. So Disney can license games to Nintendo. And another thing that makes Sora, I think, especially... at least the perception of Sora being especially challenging is nobody really fully understands the legal relationship between the Final Fantasy character Square Enix and the Disney characters that appear in that game. So who actually has the rights? We know Disney owns all of Disney's characters,
yep.
And we know that Nintendo would have to work in some capacity directly with Disney to be able to get any of those characters to make an appearance, certainly as spirits or in the Final Smash. I don't think it's likely that we're going to see a Kingdom Hearts Disney character appear in Smash. But could we see a Final Fantasy character or a Kingdom Hearts-specific character like Sora appear in Smash?
I mean, I guess I could at this point see a Final Smash with Sora, Riku, and Kairi. Maybe joining Keyblades and some super Keyblade beam or something. I guess I could see that. It's just it would be really bizarre from a spirit perspective not to include Disney-related things. Maybe that
could
happen.
Would that not be a stunner, though? Like, would that not be a mic drop?
It would be. I give you that. I hope it doesn't happen. I really do. I really don't want that to happen.
Now, I've got no dog in the fight because just with the past four DLC characters, I'm glad they're in the game. I know that they all have their fan bases. I'm not really particularly invested in any of those characters. Yeah. But for the whole excitement factor and for the I don't know how big Kingdom Hearts fandom is, or if it's just a very loud vocal fandom, but I know that it would be big for Smash.
Yeah.
And for that reason alone, it would be an impressive and potentially unrepeatable feat.
I mean, it sells a lot of copies. It really does. I am open to the idea if it happens. I honest to God, when a DLC fighter gets announced, I am 95% excited about it for the Amiibo and the Amiibo only.
Like, surprises me in no way.
I will not use that fighter in the game more than just to test it out. When Banjo came out, I'm like, yeah, Banjo! And I played with Banjo 2 matches, and that's it. I'll never use him again.
I don't think I ever asked you this, but when you do play Smash, who's your go-to character?
I love... what is his name? King K. Rool.
Oh, yeah. He's pretty good. He's very accessible.
I have learned his nuances. I've learned his moves very, very well. He is a heavy that has one of the best vertical leaps out of any other fighter.
Totally.
Which is one of the reasons I like him so much. I used to be a Zero Suit Samus main, and then I also play a lot as Bayonetta. And I play as Bayonetta because I love Bayonetta. I love the game. I love the character. So it's a fun character to play as for me. I was, again, when Final Fantasy VII's Cloud joined the game back on the Wii U, I pretty much exclusively used him because I liked him, not because I was good at him. And that's I think that's the wonder of Smash.
Yeah.
Is you can pick the character that you like, not necessarily the one that's the cheapest or whatever. But yeah, I think King K. Rool is really high on that list for me.
That's awesome.
I mean, it's all Amiibo. It's all about the Amiibo for me. I mean, that's obviously my favorite thing pretty much Nintendo's ever done.
Okay, so let's reverse engineer this then.
Sure.
If Amiibo are the reason that you love new character announcements in Smash, who's missing on that shelf that you really need to have in Amiibo form?
Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like at some point it will happen. I think Activision and Nintendo's relationship is too darn good for that not to happen. Sony has nothing to do with it. Sony has no say in it, from my understanding. So Crash will be in Smash at some point. Is it going to be this coming up one? I don't think so. Is it going to be in the next wave? I'm guessing it will be. My thought process is the next wave of DLC is going to be the fan service DLC. We're going to get the Waluigi, probably. We're going to get the Crash. We're going to get the characters like that. I think this round of DLC is the third-party stuff, the obscure, potentially obscure stuff.
Yeah, I do hope that they keep it a little bit closer to home from here on out. Like, I think that people are assuming this fifth fighter in the Fighter's Pass is going to be third party because they all have been up to this point.
Yeah.
But every single one of those characters, all of them, with the possible exception of Crash, I think beat out a more famous Nintendo character. And that, in some ways, I don't know, it kind of makes me feel like there are a few holes in the roster. I know that Waluigi is one of those love him or hate him guys.
Yeah.
But he is like literally the only one not there. And that's what makes it kind of stick out. Is if you love Waluigi, you get to play as Waluigi. If you hate Waluigi, you get to beat up Waluigi. It's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah.
But of the Nintendo characters that still have not graced the playable roster in Smash, are there any other notable holdouts for you?
For Nintendo? I mean, it's complicated because I feel like every major Nintendo IP, and I'm not counting ARMS. I don't think ARMS...
But I think we should, because if this is the ultimate...
Yeah, I get
ARMS it. is a Nintendo IP that has zero playable representation. And how awesome would an ARMS character be in Smash? This is coming from a non-ARMS fan. I hate ARMS, but I think they should be in Smash.
I don't think there's going to be an ARMS 2. I don't.
I don't either.
I think Nintendo is ready to put ARMS to bed. And including a character from ARMS is going to bring people back into that mindset. I don't think Number one, I don't know the sales figures for ARMS. I can't imagine it's
great. They were great.
Are you serious?
Yes. Yeah, they were great, but it released at a time when there were not a lot of Switch games. So I don't think it was an indication of how good the game was. I think it was really, people were excited about Switch. It was a pretty fresh console at the time. People didn't have many games that they could buy that were not ports.
Yeah.
And they already had Zelda. They already had Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
Yeah.
They needed something else to tide them over. And so ARMS wound up being a very successful tide-over title.
Okay. I stand corrected.
But you know, I think if it released at a different time, your instincts about how well the game would sell are exactly dead on. The game would not have done well. It just benefited from its from a very good strategic release time.
I guess at this point I could see them doing an ARMS character then. I don't really want that per se. Waluigi obviously makes a lot of sense. Besides that, every major IP I feel like has decent representation. I'm trying to think of an IP from Nintendo that isn't included in some capacity.
That's it would be not just the newer ones,
beyond
right?
Beyond obscure.
Because, yeah, because the only two that, unless I'm missing something, that are new IPs that released too late for the Smash development cycle would have been ARMS and then Ring Fit Adventure, obviously, which just is brand spanking new off the presses, so they haven't had any time to consider one of those characters in the game. But I could certainly see how the Ring Fit avatar would easily translate into an interesting and unique moveset, with the ring kind of being the center of their moveset. Although I think I would rather have Drago, because he's interesting, but how many heavy reptilian characters do we really need in the game?
Yeah, I feel like that's never going to happen. I feel like there has to be some sort of cutoff for what makes you a video game superstar. And I feel like one game doesn't do that.
Well, Duck Hunt did it.
I feel like Duck Hunt is iconic. Duck Hunt
and
was included with
100 million
plus devices, you know?
Yeah, and that's also a good argument for the Wii Fit Trainer, who did appear technically in two games, but it was really just an expansion of the original game. So I guess you get 1.5 games as the Wii Fit Trainer, although Wii Fit is one of the best-selling games of all time. So I don't know if Ring Fit is scratching the surface of those numbers. While I do think it's a better game, I don't really know anything about how big the player base is.
Yeah.
If searching online for information about the game is any indication, it's not really that popular.
We have Chibi Robo, who is a first party Nintendo character who is not in Smash.
True.
So you have that. I'm reading through pretty much every major first party Nintendo game. Wii Chess? There was a game called Wii Chess.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, me neither. That's strange. A character from Eternal Darkness, which I started playing again, by the way.
Yeah, I think that's highly unlikely.
And that's never going to happen.
what I would rather have is a new Eternal Darkness game.
Oh, yeah, I'd kill for that. I started playing it again, and I'm like, boy, oh boy, did this game not age well at all.
That's what I'm afraid of.
From a gameplay perspective, it was terrible. Like, the attacking mechanics, I'm like, I remember playing this game when I was younger and being blown away, but now it's just so bad.
Yeah, same.
So I stopped playing just so I can keep the happy nostalgia thoughts in my head.
Yeah.
And not really
think
about
it.
Because I played through 3 or 4 hours of the game again.
So you gave it a serious shot.
I did, for sure. I'm playing through Final Fantasy 13 again for the 15th time right now. So that's what I'm doing. But yeah, besides that, I mean, we have really good representation from pretty much all of these franchises at this point. So
I feel like there are any characters from franchises that already have representation that have been snubbed.
Skull Kid would be cool. I like the idea of Skull Kid, but he is a tiny part of a one game. So it's hard.
How about Dixie Kong?
No, I don't really care about Dixie.
How about
Tingle?
Tingle? That would be I don't. I think he would be a funny gag character.
Yeah.
And he has a lot more games than people realize because he's got a whole trilogy of games.
He's got a Rosie Rupee Land.
In Japan. Yeah. That never came stateside. Japan seems to love Tingle.
Yeah.
He's playable in Hyrule Warriors, which I think is as best as he could hope for. And he's also an assist trophy, which is kind of like the perfect place for him.
So I'm looking up at my amiibo right now just to see what I could potentially be missing. I was going to say Dark Samus, but I totally forgot we have that coming up pretty soon.
Yeah. I think everyone can agree we need some, like at least 5 or 6 more sword fighting characters from Fire Emblem.
Oh yeah, all of them. Just throw every single one in there while you can. No, I mean, honestly, I feel like there's nothing major enough from a major first party Nintendo character that I'd want to see added. Unless it's so stupidly obscure. I mean, we got Rob the Robot, so maybe a Virtual Boy. Give me a Virtual Boy fighter, like an actual Virtual Boy.
Yeah, I wonder. The Virtual Boy as a character, that would be wild. Yeah. That would be pretty crazy.
But yeah, I am beyond satisfied. Bring on the third party stuff. I think that the more we can have just this big wide open space with every company imaginable under it, I'm happy with that. So give me Crash. I think Crash is really the only major holdout that I'd like to see. Like there's somebody from Mortal Kombat, obviously Scorpion. Or
you know what I just found out is that Mortal Kombat is banned in Japan.
Is it really?
Yeah. So I think that a Mortal Kombat character is almost entirely out of the question.
Is it banned or is it heavily censored? No, banned. You know what? I believe
it's flat out banned.
For Mortal Kombat 11, they refused to make changes to it, which is why it didn't get a rating classification in Japan. I remember reading something about it where Ed Boon's team said, we're not censoring this game in any way, shape, or form. So if your country doesn't accept it, too bad. So, I mean,
yeah, that's a pretty hard line to take. And obviously, if these characters, we have a precedent for mature characters appearing in Smash, and their movesets, while incredibly faithful to their original games, they are modified in such a way as to make them appropriate for Smash's E10 rating. And that would obviously have to happen with Mortal Kombat 2. It's easy to see how it could be done if you used a character whose moveset centered around being frozen or electrocuted.
Yeah.
But it doesn't. I really don't think that a game that was expressly banned in the home country of Smash would then find its way as a DLC character. That's a little bit of a letdown.
Yeah.
Because it's the fighting game of the year, and in my opinion, it's the best fighting game. Smash, I'm talking about. Yeah. Best fighting game of all time. And Mortal Kombat would be second on my list, just slightly edging out Street Fighter. And it would be a dream come true to have Street Fighter characters face off against Mortal Kombat characters, but
I'm excited, though. I mean, I'm excited to see what's going to happen next. I feel like we would have known by now. I really thought that we would have gotten a direct before Christmas, and which I guess it could still happen. I think it's increasingly unlikely unless they shadow drop something, which they've done in the past. But it's got to happen sometime early January. I feel like this has been the slowest month for Nintendo news I've seen in so long. So it's hard to wait. It really is, especially with the Game Awards and everybody being so hyped up that Nintendo was going to blow our minds. So I think the hype is just boiling over right now.
Totally. Like, it's a pressure vacuum. The more time that goes by, the more we know that they have to reveal, because there are so many things on the horizon that have not been explained or revealed yet.
I mean, the biggest Nintendo news we've gotten recently was something that came this morning, actually. And that was, we got like new renders of all of these Animal Crossing characters. So we have.
I saw the video on Nintendo Wire's YouTube channel about that this morning.
Yeah, I posted that this morning. It was a quick and dirty video. But we have new hairstyles. We have a whole bunch of new customization options. A lot of people are freaking out about this. There's a new nose.
I noticed the new nose. That was the first thing that stuck out to me. I was like, oh, that's not particularly Animal Crossing-ish, but I like it. I like the style of it.
It's a cute little button nose.
Cute little button nose.
We got dreadlocks, which is cool. I know a lot of people wanted dreadlocks in the game. There's a lot of cool things. I mean, if you want to see all the images, there's a video on Nintendo Wire or YouTube if you want to take a look at all of the images. We have confirmation that KK Slider's in the game, which everybody knew KK Slider was going to be in the game anyway. But
this was the first official look at him?
I think this was the first official look. It's interesting, too, because if you kind of zoom in on the photo, you see, like, the texture that they put on him. It kind of looks like fur, which in the past you never really saw that. So it's kind of a neat little addition for that. But people are going nuts over this, and it's like 10 pictures, and they're all things we knew were going to happen anyway, except for the exception of the hairstyles and the new nose. But that's how desperate Nintendo fans are right now for any new content, any new news.
And I did watch everything from E3 when they did their chats about Animal Crossing before they revealed that it was going to be delayed, which I have no problems with because it was a pretty full back half of the year anyway, and Animal Crossing is something exciting to look forward to. But the more I started to learn about the game, and I actually watched a great video from Daniel from Nintendo Wire's team. He released on the YouTube channel where he kind of broke down some of the changes. And as I was watching it, and more of this was being revealed to me, I actually started to feel like I needed to stop investigating Animal Crossing New Horizons because I didn't want everything about the game to be spoiled. I wanted to kind of figure out some of the stuff as I went. And it's not really a spoiler game, so I wasn't particularly avoiding anything. But because is this going to be the fifth time that some of us play through Animal Crossing?
I mean, I had the original for sure. I had Wild World. Yeah, this is going to be my fifth main series. Wait, fifth? Yeah, I played City Folk. City Folk kind of sucked, but
on the Wii.
On the Wii with Wii Speak.
Yeah, I'm not going to deny that one isn't the worst of the bunch, but it does definitely have a very special place for me because of when it was and playing it. Is there anything from New Horizons that you have not seen that you're hoping makes a jump into the game? Like
I would like to see, and this is something that I one of the few things I liked in City Folk that I feel like wasn't explored enough in anything else. I would like to see the ability to run a business.
Ah.
The ability to set up a coconut drink stand that you can sell stuff to either A, your friends who can come to your town and buy your items that you craft, because this game is very, very heavy on the crafting. I mean, Animal Crossing has always been heavy, but a lot of the new images that came out shows your character like in overalls with a hammer, and you have this workbench, very Minecraft-like. And I'd like the ability to make custom items that you might be able to sell, things that are unique to your island, so when people come and visit, you can set up a shop. That's something I wanted to see for a long time. It's one of the weird things about Animal Crossing New Leaf that I liked so much. I liked going to Brewster's shop and working. I liked going behind the counter and taking the animal's order for coffee and memorizing what their orders were and getting like the perfect score. That was so much fun. And I was working, you know, I was taking coffee orders. But it was a fun thing. So I'd like to see more of that.
I love that idea. And semi-related to that, we're friends, right?
I'd say so, yeah.
Then why do you refuse to friend me on Switch?
I noticed that. I never see you online. Did you send me a friend request?
To be completely fair, I'm not sure if I have.
Okay, so here's the thing. I assumed that we were friends.
So did I. And then I was just looking.
I was playing Ring Fit, and anytime anybody joins or plays from my friend list on anything, I see them pop up in the corner. And I never saw you. And I know for a fact there has been many times we have been ring fitting at the same time.
Yes.
So the very first thing I'm going to do after this podcast is I am going to friend you.
Thank you.
I apologize for not friending you.
Not Switch friends, you're not real friends.
You need to send me your Switch ID code thing, whatever the hell Nintendo's using nowadays.
Okay.
So yeah, well, I'll make sure that happens, and you can then come to my coconut stand and buy a drink when that opens up.
Nice. I'll take mine with extra pineapple.
Can do. But yeah, I think that's the biggest thing I'd like to see. Besides that, I'm really curious about Amiibo support, and then finally, they need to do something that they did with the original Animal Crossing and let me play NES games from inside the game.
Granted, that was so awesome.
I get it with Virtual Console, not Virtual Console, because Nintendo decided to completely abandon that amazing thing for some reason. But with Nintendo Switch Online, I get that you can play NES games on the Switch, but there was something just fun about doing it inside Animal Crossing.
It was so unexpected. It was so cool. That I think, hands down, is the best feature that any Animal Crossing game has ever had. It's not my favorite of the games, but as soon as I realized that I can have an NES console and that it actually played that game, I was just floored. That was so shocking to me.
I had an entire room filled with them.
Me too. That was my mission.
I bought an e-reader specifically for that. And I would buy the Animal Crossing e-reader cards to try to unlock Nintendo games within Animal Crossing. It was absolutely amazing.
That's awesome. I had a whole wall in my Animal Crossing house that was just dedicated to Nintendo consoles.
And then I got an Action Replay, and I found out that there are like 10 games that are in the code, fully playable, that Nintendo just never activated. The Legend of Zelda is available on Animal Crossing.
I had that one.
So maybe that wasn't one of them. But there was like 9 or 10 games that Nintendo just never went through with that you could get with Action Replay.
Oh, so crazy.
That was always fun. I'd like to see that. And besides that, I am open to what Nintendo wants to do. I am more excited to play this game because my daughter is 7 in a couple weeks.
Yeah,
she is learning how to read, and she is such a good reader. We were playing through the original Luigi's Mansion on the GameCube, and I was having her read all of the boxes, and she was doing such a good job. She doesn't know this yet. She doesn't listen to the podcast, but she's getting a Switch Lite for Christmas, for her birthday, which is in January. So she's getting a Switch Lite. She's going to get Animal Crossing when it comes out, and myself, my beautiful wife, Happily Candied, and my daughter, we're going to sit around the fireplace playing Animal Crossing New Horizons, all three of us together on our Switches. It's going to be a beautiful moment.
And that sounds like an awesome Christmas vacation.
I cannot wait for that experience. And that's one of the things, again, that I'm so grateful to Nintendo for. That, number one, I grew up loving Nintendo games, and I think that's pretty obvious. But that I can share this kind of thing with my family and my daughter, and we can kind of have these bonds. We were actually all playing New Leaf a couple days ago, all three of us on our 3DSs. And we play hide and seek. So one person goes into the museum and the other two go and hide somewhere in the city, and she has to find us. And it was just a blast. We were doing
that
for about an
hour. That's awesome. Because that's not a game that Nintendo explicitly created, where they're like, you could play hide and seek. But you guys found a way to create a game within the game. And it's because Nintendo created an environment that allows for the possibility of that. And that is awesome.
I mean, I know we could go to the island and actually play the games that Nintendo programmed in, but we just make our own stuff up. And it's fun.
Yeah.
It's a blast. We laugh more doing that stuff than anything else. So I cannot wait for New Horizons simply for that. So I don't think Nintendo could do anything that would ruin that for me. Unless for some reason they made it so your friends can't come, which that would be the stupidest thing ever.
Yes. Yeah, but I don't think there's any danger of that.
What about you? Is there anything specifically surrounding Animal Crossing that you're really hoping for?
You know, it's really less about what I was hoping for and more just being curious if I've outgrown the game, because it's not because I don't think that the game still has appeal to an adult, but because this will be my fifth time playing Animal Crossing, and the last time I played it in New Leaf, I thought, do I really have it in me to be in debt to Tom Nook again for an ungodly amount of bells? And I found that the game really did suck me in. And what hooked me was that I was the mayor now. And that was such a big change. And I just couldn't see where they could go from there, short of having me being able to manipulate where things appeared on the island and be able to manipulate, or I'm saying island because I know it's an island, but manipulate the village and maybe have a little bit more autonomy over who was there and where they put their houses. And it sounds like you do get a lot more control in this game. So I'm definitely in. I'm going to buy this game. I'm going to play it.
Yeah.
I just don't know how long I'll stick with it. I stuck with Animal Crossing for a few years playing it on and off. I was really hot and heavy in the beginning. And then when I unlocked every single fortune cookie Nintendo item, that was kind of like my in-game mission. I always fill up my museum, and I always... And each game has had something to grab me. Like we already mentioned, the original GameCube one, I wanted to collect every Nintendo game. Yeah. And with the most recent one, I wanted to be able to have every one of those super cool Nintendo items and make Nintendo-themed floors in my house. And that was what I did. And once I had completed it, there wasn't really a whole lot left for me to do. So this next one, I'm curious to see what about it, what new things they include that inspire me to have some sort of fun adventure. And yeah. Like you said, your daughter is almost 7. My daughter's going to be 7 next week. Her birthday's Christmas Eve. This is not related to the show, but last year, right before her birthday, she said, "Daddy, I'm really disappointed." I said, "Why?" I can't pass out snacks in my class on my birthday like all my friends get to do. Aww. Because my birthday's on Christmas Eve and nobody ever goes to school on Christmas Eve. I said, "Yeah, that's right. You're almost always going to have your birthday off of school." And then this year in Taiwan, while Christmas is celebrated, it's not a very big holiday. And so her birthday's on a Tuesday. And she is going to school.
There you go.
On Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And so when I told her that, I was expecting her to be like, "Yay, I get to pass snacks out to my class." She was like, "Oh, I got to go to school on my birthday." So you can't win. So this Tuesday, she's going to have her birthday. When Animal Crossing comes out, she'll also be 7. She's also a really good reader, and I make her read everything just like Luigi's Mansion.
Yep.
It actually makes me feel like I'm being a responsible parent, letting my kid play games, because it is a way for her to be excited to engage with reading. And so for that reason, I think us playing it together could be fun. And that's probably the strongest argument, I think, for getting a second Switch in the house for me, is so that we can play that together.
It's going to be interesting. I'm excited for it. And I hope Nintendo keeps some of the quality of life stuff that they did with Welcome Amiibo. Welcome Amiibo brought me back into Animal Crossing in the biggest way, because it let me customize my town any way I wanted to. But at the same time, too, I'm concerned because I had my dream town like that. And I guess that might turn some players off if they get everything they want right away and they didn't have to work all that hard for it. So maybe they wait for that kind of thing, but who knows. But either way, I'm ready for it. I'm more than excited to pick it up.
Now, Christmas is next week, and a lot of video games find a way to work winter themes into the games. And you, on Nintendo Wire, just recently released an article about some of the best or most memorable winter themes in video games. So, for you personally, are there any standout moments where you just got sucked into some kind of winter exploration?
When I was, let's see, 1996, so December of 96, 11-year-old Jason, I guess at that point, I got Mario 64 for Christmas. One of the very first levels that you can get in that game is the Cool Mountain. Is that what it's called?
Cool Mountain, yeah.
And there is a penguin race. There is a baby penguin that you can murder and then or deliver to its mom, whatever you want to do. Either one is fine with me. I have so many just positive memories about picking up that baby penguin and throwing it over a cliff or sliding it down a mountain and taking it to its mom and cheating with that stupid giant penguin, whatever the penguin's name is.
That penguin race?
Yeah, the penguin race.
See that penguin race, I remember exactly what you're talking about. And it was a like life-changing experience as a gamer, because I'd never played anything like that in a 3D environment. However, the memory for me is more like post-traumatic stress syndrome, where I just trying to beat that penguin's time. I don't know if it was that I just wasn't good enough at the game or I didn't figure out the required exploit, but I must have fallen off that mountain a million bajillion times. And I don't even remember if I ever actually completed it. I probably did, or I'd still be doing it. But that was not a fun experience. But I certainly know exactly what you're talking about.
I mean, for me, it's got to be that, because it's just that moment when I got my 64 Christmas morning 1996 solidified my love for Nintendo. It was so, and this is going to shock the audience. I had an NES when I was about 4 or 5, and then I got a Sega Genesis. I never had a Super Nintendo growing up. I was playing Sonic the Hedgehog. I was playing Power Rangers on the Sega Genesis and just never got to experience Super Mario World or A Link to the Past, Super Metroid. All of those games came much later to me. But when the Nintendo 64 came out, I was at that moment solidified in my love for Nintendo. From that point on, I had every Nintendo console within the first month that it came out. Every first party game, I was just, I really think that Mario 64 is what did that. It blew my mind in every capacity, and I spent probably more time in that snow level than any other level in any other game I've ever played.
Wow. So before you were the reigning king, Amiibo Jason, you were cool Jason 64.
Yes. And before that, I was Super Sega Genesis Jason, I guess. And I had a 32X because I was cool like that, too.
Nice.
But what about you? What is your Christmas-themed level?
You know, I actually have quite a bit, but one of them stands out the most. So I'm gonna roll through them kind of quick here.
Got it.
The first time that snow that I can remember, a winter-themed level really capturing my attention in a game is Donkey Kong Country.
Sure.
Because there's a level, I think it's called Snow Barrel Blast, where the snow particles are falling down so thick that it's actually a little bit of an obstruction to your vision. And so I noticed it because a lot of it's happening in the foreground and your character's moving pretty frenetically like they tend to do in some Donkey Kong games. And when you're blasting between barrels, sometimes you have to trigger it at the right moment. And the snow particles at the time really kind of messed with me. And I thought, oh, this is, and something about that I thought was amazing, how they had used the art direction of the snow to actually impede my progress to some extent in the game as an added layer of challenge. So it was something somewhat memorable. Of course, I had my cool mountain experience, but it was less positive than yours. some of my more standout moments for snow in games actually came when I was already an adult. I grew up in the Midwest where you expect snow every winter.
It's abundant,
in Chicagoland. And I'm a winter baby. I mentioned my daughter was born on Christmas Eve. I also was born on Christmas Eve. So the holiday times were there was a lot to be excited about. I loved snow. I love my birthday and Christmas. And so growing up in the Midwest for the first 2.5 decades of my life, and then moving to California where there is no winter, there's summer year round. Even in the dead of winter, it's still, for a Chicago kid, shorts weather. It's still super warm. And as I started to see palm trees with Christmas decorations, it actually had a really negative impact on my morale. I'm not a person who's really given to depression, so I think that would be kind of a strong emotion to assign to it. But I'd say it's like somewhere on that spectrum where it really started to glower my spirits a little bit. And I just really missed the snow. And so at the time, a game had recently released for the Wii called Animal Crossing City Folk, which we had mentioned earlier in the show. And I thought, I can go make a snowman right now in Animal Crossing City Folk. And so even though I will say, as I said earlier, I think it's easily the weakest in the series, I turned it on in what should have been the dead of winter in my 70-degree California apartment.
Yeah.
And I was suddenly able to experience at least some version of winter. I made snowmen. I kept the game on in the background just so that I can kind of feel that winter environment.
Yeah.
And it provided for me something that I don't think Nintendo really anticipated. Not all parts of the world get snow, but I was somebody who was accustomed to it. And then just being removed from it, I missed it bad. And so in some small way, it brought me a big comfort.
Yeah.
And for that reason, that game really, it left a, what's the right way to say it? It left a lasting impression on my heart.
Yeah.
And then again, in Snow Peak Mountain for Twilight Princess,
Okay, I remember. Wasn't there a Yeti that you feed soup to?
Yes, and so I thought that I was playing a nice, tranquil winter level, and then all of a sudden, it freaked the living daylights out of me because of some scary reveals that happened. So if you haven't played that game yet, there's recently an HD version that came out, so I won't spoil it, but you know, it's not all snowflakes and snowmen. It gets scary up there. But then my most recent positive winter experience came in the form of Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, where it's not expressly Christmas in any way.
Yeah.
But the winter wonderland that is the Hebra region was super fun to me because not only did it allow you to snowboard down the hills on your shield, but winter became a game factor where it was so cold that if you didn't dress your character appropriately for the weather, you would die. And the acknowledgement of how important the elements are and how we've played all these Zelda games before and Link never really had to modify his wardrobe to accommodate different weather conditions. But in this game, they're like, yeah, you know what? It's cold here. And if you don't bundle up, you gonna die. And another reason why that was so awesome to me is it's kind of like a you could find so many different ways to warm up. Like you can wear a sword on your back, which will allow you to wear the snow boots, which I don't know why this is, but the snow boots are actually not spec'd for warmth. So if you're wearing the snow boots instead of some of the warmer clothes, it'll allow you to move fast, which is important when you're fighting Lynels in the Winter Wonderland, which as my favorite in-game activity in Breath of the Wild to fight Lynels.
I do remember
I wanted to have the speed, so I'd put a sword on my back that was a flame sword.
Yeah.
But if you're fighting a Lynel with your flame sword and it breaks, then all of a sudden you're cold. And having to do that management and in this level was a ton of fun to me, and that was all because of the cold factor in the snow region.
It's one of the nice things about Nintendo games is that you get many, many seasons. So, man, I was going to talk about 1080 snowboarding on the Nintendo 64. I never owned it as a kid. I own it now because I have pretty much every Nintendo 64 game there is. But I rented that game so many times. I just remember the sound of the snow and just such a great game. But, yeah, I agree with you on pretty much all of those. I mean, those are just they're fun levels. Everything about like winter themed stuff. It's the opposite of water levels, which are universally hated.
I know. Why is that? How do they manage to always make water? Although there is a notable exception to that.
Can we say it at the same time?
Okay. Let's go. One, two, three.
Donkey Kong Country.
Yep. Oh, man, dude. Totally.
So, yeah, that's the and I think 90% of that is the amazing song.
Yes. And, you know, this is going a little bit back, but Mario 3D World has a pretty awesome winter theme, too. I like going into the ice skate, and you can skate around on the ice a little bit in Mario 3D World. And also, it's probably one of the most catchy winter jingles. Like, it almost sounds like a Christmas song, but not quite. And it also sounds like a Mario song, but it really does exude that Christmas quality. But that that Donkey Kong water level, because of that music, is just
so good.
So good.
Man. So I have to do this before we end our podcast tonight. If Santa Claus could bring you any Nintendo wish, what would it be?
If I could have any Zelda wish, I would want Super Smash Brothers Dynasty Warriors.
Interesting.
I would want all of the Smash Brothers cast in either a Dynasty Warriors style beat 'em up, or in a side scrolling platforming adventure.
Yeah. I like that. That's a good idea.
There's just something about the varied gameplay that you would get if you could be Little Mac punching guys, but then you could also be Mario jumping on him or Link slashing with the sword or Samus blasting with the gun. I don't know how you would design a game like that because it would have so many varied hitboxes when you have that many kids, that many characters. So I would love it. I don't see it really realistically happening. But if they made like Super Smash World or something where you could just play a Mario World style game,
yeah,
that would be amazing.
See, I typically would say something about Amiibo, but if I could get one wish right now, it would be I want Nintendo to let me disconnect my Wii U. My Wii U is connected for three very important reasons. Reason number one is Twilight Princess HD.
Yeah.
Reason number two is Wind Waker HD. Yeah. Reason number three is the backwards compatible Wii, because I want to play Skyward Sword.
Yeah.
I want to see all three games on the Switch, and I want to see it happen next year. And at, well, while they're at it, release Ocarina of Time 3D on the Switch too. The updated
yes,
graphics.
Please. Yeah, same and, thing with and Majora's Mask 3D. Come on. Yeah, I mean, those things have been locked on the 3DS for a while.
Square Enix is already this close to making me the happiest boy alive because they've released so many amazing Final Fantasy games on the Switch, with the notable exceptions of the NES and the Super NES games, which I don't understand why are not on the Switch yet. I want to see Final Fantasy 1, 2, and 3. I want to see Final Fantasy 13. And then, you know, I would be super happy. But the same thing with Nintendo. I want to see all of those amazing HD re-releases they had on this on the Wii U, and I want it on my handheld. I mean, handheld Twilight Princess is going to blow my mind.
Yeah, say what you will about the Wii U. It is hands down the ultimate Zelda machine.
It really is.
It you can play almost every Zelda game ever made between the Virtual Console and between the HD remakes.
Yeah, I think it has Phantom everything. Hourglass was even on there too. Like
I have Phantom Tracks. Hourglass and Spirit Tracks on there. I have a Link. Or I have a Oracle of Ages, Oracle of Seasons. I have Skyward Sword. I have Wind Waker HD, Twilight Princess HD, Breath of the Wild is on there. So you could get the original two for the NES. You could get a Link to the Past. You could get
Ocarina Minish and Majora's Mask.
You could get the 64 versions of those games. I'm struggling to think of a Zelda game that you can't get on there. Link's Awakening, that might be the only one. Yeah, Faces of Evil, you can't get that one. Yeah, those ones. I don't think you want them. I'm sure there is one or two Zelda games that, for some reason, fell through the cracks on the Wii U. But if you had to pick one console and all you were going to play was Zelda games, it's the Wii U. That's
Man, gone are the days where Nintendo just gave out like discs as pre-order bonuses that have like 10 Zelda games on it. I just picked that up recently. Really quick, side note. I picked up this unbelievable deal at GameStop for Black Friday, and it was if you bought a GameCube HDMI adapter, you got three free games. And I picked the three most expensive GameCube games I could find, which essentially made the adapter free. But one of those games that I picked up was that big Zelda pack that came with Ocarina of Time. It has Majora's Mask, the original Zelda 2, and it wasn't, I don't think Link's Awakening was on there, but I could be wrong. But it looks gorgeous.
It was Zelda 1, wasn't it? Zelda 1, Zelda 2.
Yeah, Zelda 1's on there, Zelda 2.
Yeah.
And that I think there was five games. I have to take a look and see which ones.
Is it Master Quest?
Yeah, Master Quest is on there too.
And I think it's a demo of Wind Waker.
Yep, that's right. So there's two demo discs that came out on the GameCube for Zelda. One has like two games, one has like five. I have both. But I just hooked that up and started playing those games again. And it is fun playing Ocarina of Time on my HDTV, like 65 inches of just pure Zelda goodness.
That sounds like a dream come true.
It really is. And Nintendo needs to make that a reality sooner rather than later. I mean, I can't believe we're way past 2 years for the Nintendo Switch being out, and we still don't have a virtual console. That makes no sense to me. But
well,
I guess it does.
It does make sense because they're leveraging their back catalog to sell the Nintendo Switch online. It's not as good as the virtual console. Although, depending on how you look at it, you'll play games you may not have played because you don't have to purchase them individually. It's kind of more like a subscription service. Well, it is a subscription service, but you only have access to what they've chose to put in the library.
Just and let maybe me pay some, for the games I want. Like,
yeah.
I want games that are going to be mature rated that they're never going to put on this free service.
Oh, that's a good point. I didn't even think about that.
I mean, granted, there's not a whole lot of mature rated games, but like games like Mortal Kombat or Conker's Bad Fur Day, which I don't think they have the license to anymore. But I like the option to choose. And right now the library is pretty just, I never touch it.
Yeah. I'm curious to see what the future of that will be. If they're just going to continue to keep it afloat, trickling games in, month by month, or if they're going to overhaul some kind of big plan, try to usher in some GameCube titles. We'll see. It took them forever to get Super Nintendo in there. And even then, your catalog is pretty limited.
Yeah. I guess we'll see. I mean, we have, I think, a little bit of time before our next podcast anyway. So who knows? Maybe Nintendo's going to announce some fun Christmas goodies for us. And this could be, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if we're recording next week or not with Christmas. But if we do, hopefully we have some big Nintendo stuff to cover.
Yeah, I think we should try to get one in after Christmas before the new year.
Yeah. I think we can do that.
We'll close out the year with one more big one.
Sounds good to me. And then before we go, TJ, where can we find more information on you?
You want to get a little bit more TJ action? You can check me out on Twitter at Custom Conquest. And I just recently released a long anticipated episode of Spirit Tracker on the YouTube channel, Nintendo Wire. So if you want to give that a watch, I would appreciate it.
Rock and roll. If you're looking for info on me, you can find me on my Twitter account at AmiiboJason. We have photos of the brand new 100,000 subscriber plaque we just got, which, good job, YouTube. That came quick. I can't believe how fast we got that.
Yeah. Woohoo!
Otherwise, you can find me at NintendoWire.com, where I am the editor-in-chief, and that's pretty much the main places besides Amiibo News. So, yeah, I think without anything else, TJ, any closing thoughts?
You guys may have noticed that there was one difference between this podcast and every other podcast before this, and that we did no Ring Fit discussion.
Oh, yeah, we totally forgot that.
You're welcome.
That's coming next week because I'm on the second to last world right now.
I already finished the game, and I didn't want to spoil the dramatic conclusion for Jason, so we'll have plenty more Ring Fit discussion for you next time.
Which reminds me, right after this, I'm going to go Ring Fit myself to death. So I will talk to you guys soon. Until next time, stay wired in.
Thanks for playing.
All right.